Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Thanks, Eilish. Texter says, I loved the Nolan sisters. So glamorous and so beautiful. Great to hear Maureen today. Thanks for the joy. And they were kind of glamorous and beautiful at a time. And there wasn't much glamour and beauty in our lives, was there? But I'm joined now by, we go to a new generation of Irish talent, actor and new 2FM presenter Demi Isaac. Hi, Demi.
Hello, how are you?
Good, welcome.
And thank you.
So you picked five songs for us that have kind of soundtracked your life. Was it easy to pick five songs?
I have never been asked to just narrate my life or talk about monumental moments in my life in just five songs. Very difficult. But do you know, I think I did a good job now. I'm not disappointed.
Yeah. No, I think people will enjoy this. So tell me a bit about yourself first. You grew up in Mallow.
How was that? I'm a Mallow-fornian. Yeah. Is what we got down talking. It was grand. It was great. I've been living in Mallow since I was three. That's all I knew. It's where I grew up and it's my life and I enjoy it. Well, I like to say I enjoy it, but it's small town mentality. But sure, look.
Yeah.
It's grand.
Yeah,
it's grand.
Yeah. And then your mum, Joy, died then when you were only five. That was very hard for you, was it?
Oh, it was very difficult. I don't remember her. I really don't. I don't remember what her voice sounds like. I don't remember anything like that, but I know what she looks like. I've been told many, many times in my life that I look exactly like my mother. So I like to think that I'm like her, but I was too young when she passed, so I don't really know.
And you were the oldest kid then, so do you grow up kind of fast then in that situation? Do you have to?
You kind of have to. I always joke about being the mediator between the adults and the children. It's like I'm the middleman. So if there's a problem, you come to me and I go up to the higher ups and break it down to them.
But you're the shop steward.
I'm literally the middleman. But you kind of do and you don't. So like I like to think I grew up very fast, but my mother would like to say now she's still very childish in so many ways, but you do what you have to do in situations like that.
Yeah. But then your dad Joe died when you were just a teenager.
I was 15.
Oh, I know, they're a huge blow, like.
Yeah, that hurt the most. My dad was the rock of the family. He was the man.
Yeah.
And when he died, he'd been sick for a long time and it kind of just came out of nowhere again. But yeah, it was very difficult, very, very difficult.
And you have to step up again then as well, do you?
You do, but I'm grateful that I had my stepmother Kim and my uncle Courage and my nana Eileen, because without the three of them, I don't know where we would have been, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah, so. Yeah. What was your dad like?
Do you know what? He would have loved this because he had great music taste.
Did he? Yeah. What was he into?
Oh man, he loved reggae. He was really into R&B. R&B was his favourite thing and he was also very into hip hop as well. But he really loved reggae and like old like Nigerian like Afro beats and stuff. He just loved music, anything he just loved.
Yeah, so. I'm intrigued about Uncle Courage as well. He sounds like a cool dude. I think everyone needs an Uncle Courage.
Uncle Courage, if he's listening, he probably is. He's the cool uncle when he's not wrecking your head.
Yeah.
But he's reached that age where he's no longer cool but wants to hold on to his youth. But everyone needs an Uncle Courage in their life. He's just brilliant.
Was he into music as well?
Oh, yeah. He is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. He really is.
Did you play in a trad band for a while?
So, in school, our music teacher played trad. She was a trad musician. So we all, by force, had to like play the likes of the Tin Whistle. So we played the Tin Whistle. Now, I wasn't the best, but like because our class, this is in primary school, because our class was so small, we just were naturally a trad band.
Yeah.
I'm not the best. Please don't pull out a Tin Whistle and ask me to play on an air because I'd be banned.
Oh, damn. Okay, we've lost 10 minutes of what we were intending to do. Okay, so listen, you mentioned your stepmother, Kim. Your first choice is dedicated to her.
Yeah, she's a beautiful singing voice. Really good. And this song, it's weird because I hadn't heard it in years, but I did High Road, Low Road with RTE and we were in Oisins in Barbados. And this song was on in the background and I was like, oh my, it's like nostalgia kind of just washed over me. And I was like, that's a song that Kim used to sing. I can't remember why, but I just remember her singing it. And this song is just dedicated to her.
That's it, like music as a time machine.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is Keisha White, Demi Isaac's first choice today. This is The Weakness in Me. You make me stay when I should not. I used so strong, horizontal.
blighted sleep. This old love has me bound, but the new love cuts deep. If I choose her now, I lose out, 'cause one of us has to fall. I need you and you.
That's Keisha White, The Weakness in Me, and that is Demi Isaac's first choice today, and that is for her stepmother, Kim. So, were you a performer growing up?
Oh, I loved being the centre of attention.
Yeah.
I always say to people, they're like, "How? What made you realise you wanted to be an actor?" I was like, "I just want people to look at me." Okay. No, within reason, like, But I did school plays and I did pantomimes in secondary school, and I loved it. If I couldn't be on the stage, I was behind the stage working constantly. So I've always had like a natural pull to this industry, some may say.
And then you got the part as Linda on The Young Offenders.
Yeah.
You auditioned by YouTube, is that right?
Yeah, so I always said when I auditioned, it was pure luck, because the deadline was whatever date I posted the YouTube video. And I was kind of humming and hawing about it, and I was like, do you know what now? We'll see what happens. And I actually uploaded it, did it within like 30 minutes. Took nothing of it. I was like, look, it's done now. If I get it, I get it. Completely yeah. forgot about it. And it's like 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening during just before the summer. Or it was during like a midterm break. And Peter Foote's brother, Mike Foote, who's the casting director for The Young Offenders, rang me. And he's like, oh, I'm da 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 da. At this point, I hadn't watched the film. So I was like, all right. And he was like, we want you to come up for an audition. I said, audition? You would have thought I got the part. I was absolutely ecstatic. But auditioned for it and it was great. It was perfect. It was just the way I wanted it to go. I wouldn't have done it anything different.
And you were only 16.
Yeah, I was 16.
And what's it like then starting to make like a big TV show when you're 16?
Myself and Jennifer Barry, who plays Siobhan Walsh, who is Jock's girlfriend, if you're not familiar with her, we were convinced we were going to be written out after the first season, because we're like, people don't care about us. They just want to know what the boys are up to. And lo and behold, like, people were like obsessed with us and obsessed with the show in general, because we've gone from a small like indie film to this like massive TV show, and it's been great and people love us and it's fantastic.
And your second choice is kind of, it's a Cork anthem, but now inextricably linked yeah. with The Young Offenders. So why did you pick The Frank and Walters After All?
The Frank and the Walters After All is dedication to season one, which would have been the last episode six of season one, which would have been the last episode, which was like, we sang that on the bus for a week straight, but we didn't realise how massively like impact, like how much of an impact that was going to have towards like people in Cork and across the country, across the world. So I've dedicated the song to celebrate that.
Okay, here's Demi Isaac's second choice, The Frank and Walters After All. Frank and Walters, After All, that's Demi Isaac's second choice today. And you couldn't help but sing along there, could you?
It's like a humming noise in the background now. You know, you're just so used to singing it now that it's like, oh, look, I let out a lyric here or there, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And come here, so as you were saying, like, the show then became this huge hit.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that when you're 16 and people are suddenly recognising you and stuff like that? It's kind of weird.
When we first started filming, I remember, like, when we were, because a lot of people don't believe it, but The Young Offenders is kind of filmed around the city, around the county. So when we used to go places, the boys were hounded. Shane Casey was hounded. PJ Gallagher, Hillary, they were all being like, oh my God, we love you, love you. And myself and Jennifer were like, oh, I can't wait for that to be awesome. Yeah. Once the season came out, that happened. And at first it was great, it was exciting. And then it was like, okay, now it's kind of like you can't be a normal teenager and go out with your friends without being like, oh my God, you're Linda, come here to me, or da da da. At first it was great, and then it kind of just got, not annoying, because I love meeting people, but people kind of like can differentiate between Linda and Demi. Like, we're completely two different people. So when people meet me, they think they know everything about me, and it's like, no, yeah, you don't. Yeah. Or people feel like I am obligated to interact with them no matter what I'm doing. It's like, no.
And I presume sometimes they might have a little bit of drink taken as well.
Exactly.
In certain situations.
And like, it's sometimes it's like, and I know I hate saying it, but like, celebrities like, oh my God, I'm eating dinner with my family, leave me alone. But sometimes you're with your family. Like, I've got younger siblings. I don't want them to be like pulled and progged with me when it's like, oh, can I take a picture with you? It's like, yeah, you can. Just give me a second to settle what I'm doing, and then I'll take it. Like, I'm not disrespectful in any way. I like to think that I'm not. But at first it was great, and then you kind of learn to kind of build like a wall around you a little bit to kind of have a bit of like differentiation between the two.
Yeah. That's heavy stuff to have to learn when you're 16, 17.
And I tell you now, there's no rule book. There's no guidance book. You can only do so much from trial and error, knowing what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah. And like, as you say, you're trying to live the normal life of a kid then.
Yeah.
Like, you did Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And you were doing your Leaving Cert.
Yeah. I filmed that year as well. We filmed seasons 2 and 3. I had a very jam-packed year.
Yeah. That was a lot to juggle, was it?
Oh, it was. And then, yeah, like, doing Dancing with the Stars, I loved it. But the criticism I got was just like, dude, it was a lot. It was a lot, yeah. And I've never spoken about it. So I've never been like, oh, it was rainbows and sunshine. Sometimes it was, but it was a lot going on as well.
To talk about it now.
I got a lot of criticism for the way I looked, like my weight. And it was hard because you're a teenager. You just turned 18. You've been thrown into, catapulted into this. And it was great. Like, I love doing Dancing on the Stairs. I've often said I'd go back if they asked me, like, but I didn't know how to stop looking at the negative comments. Like, it was to the point where I was actually looking, I was on the fan pages, like, looking at what people were saying. Like, I got obsessed with it, and it was just like these women who were in their 60s being like, oh, she can't do this, or look at the cut of her, and all these things. And it was just, it was a lot. It was very, very heavy.
Yeah.
And like, you can't tell your friends about it because they don't understand to a certain level. Like, even telling my friends I'm here today, they're like, oh, cool. Like, no, it's not just cool. It's brilliant. But it's like, you can't, like, where do you go? How do you talk about it, you know? And I think...
So did you have anyone you could talk to?
I spoke to my parents, like my mother and my nana and stuff, but it's weird when they're not in it. They can't see, like, they can't... They don't understand it and understand why, like, it's like, oh, just don't look at it. It's like, but I need to know what they're saying because you want the fans to be on your side. And it's like, yeah, they're on your side, but like 20% of them are like, oh, but sure, like, would she ever just go away, like, or whatever.
And presumably the ones you really see and take on board are
the negative ones.
Obviously, yeah. And also, like, I don't know, you think some people who are around it a while, around being in the public eye and stuff, they've developed, as you say, like certain kind of mechanisms and everything. You didn't have them at that stage,
like,
did you?
I remember we were on set one day and I was like, I want to see what the negative comments are about. And a few of the older cast members were like, don't look at it. And I was like, oh no, it doesn't matter me. Because I thought I'd like developed thick skin.
Yeah.
You think you do until you see the really nasty stuff. And then you're like, oh my God, that hurt me. And it's like, how does one, like when you're doing something or you're performing, like, for example, Dancing with the Stars, for example, when you're performing, you're always going to have that, like, oh, they said, like, I'm really heavy, or it's stuck in your gut now when you're doing this move. So the cameras, like, it's little
it's
things.
In
like,
head,
it's like, in your head. It's in your head. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like that thing, it's interesting. You say you couldn't explain it to any of your friends, or not even really to your mom or anything. It must be quite kind of lonely, is it?
It is.
Yeah.
I often, It is lonely, and it's like how, like, you don't want to make it a thing either when you're talking to people who are in the industry, like, oh my god, like, I read this comment about me, because it's like some people deal with it differently, some people don't even have social media, and kudos to them. I like social media, and that's, I'm not like, it's just one of my interests, and yeah. It's like, why am I cutting myself away from what I enjoy because people just can't leave you alone? I remember, like, when we finished filming seasons 2 and 3 and it came out during COVID, a lot of people still had comments to make about, like, my appearance and stuff. And it was just, again, it's hard, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's an interesting point you make. Like, people say, don't look at it, but why should you cut yourself off from what, for your age group is like, is a lifeline to the rest of the world and all that kind of thing. So, look, your next choice was a song that was a big moment for you on Dancing with the Stars. And this is Luther Vandross, Dance with My Father. Tell me about this.
So, ironically, this was one of the songs my dad played. And I remember when I met with the producers for Dancing with the Stars, they kind of run through the kind of music you're into. And I told them my dad was the master song. And I literally said, I was like, one of the songs he liked was actually Dance with My Father again. I was like, isn't that ironic? And I could see, like, ding, like, the light bulb moment producer's eyes being like, this is perfect. But I performed this, obviously dedicating it to my dad, but obviously dedicating it to my family as well. And it was the first time I bawled my eyes out in front of on national television. So it was like this, it was just like an overwhelming moment of like a lot of emotion, knowing that my brothers are watching this and the country is watching this. But obviously my dad was watching down on me as well in this particular moment. So it's a good song. It's a great song.
It is. It is. Yeah. There's a really good documentary about him, which it's on Sky or somewhere.
Is it? At the moment.
It's really good. And when this came out, it was a big deal for him. I think he'd never had a number one or something.
Yeah.
He had a number one, but he had a stroke just before. And this song, it was the song he felt was the song of his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was like, this is the one, and it's the most personal I've ever been and everything. And he never fully got to enjoy. It was hugely successful. Yeah. So it's kind of, there's layers and layers of. Okay. So here's Demi Isaac's third choice, Luther Vandross, Dance with My Father.
Back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, to dance with my father again.
Yeah, but it's very good, yeah. So that's Luther Vandross, Dance with My Father, and that's Demi Isaac's third choice today. Just listening to all of that there, Demi, the way you're talking, did you miss out on a lot? I know you don't want to be moaning now, but did you miss out on a lot growing up because with your mother dying so young, then your dad dying, and then this happening? Like, did you miss out on being a kid? Did you miss out on being like a normal teenager?
I didn't miss out on being a kid. I wouldn't say I miss out on being a kid. Being a teenager, yeah, because like your friends go out. You're 18. Your friends go out to the pub in your local, and they're having a few drinks, whatever, everything's grand, it's fun, and they can do whatever they want, they can get sloppy drunk as they want to be, because, do you know, you're teenagers, I can't do that. Okay. And it's not like, I was like, oh, I wanted to be like that, I just never could. Like, I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, we went on a hen for one of the girls, and I was in a kebab shop in Magaluf, it's like May, like, not even their busy season, and this lad's recording me, like, blatantly recording me with his girlfriend next to him. And I literally came over and I was like, could you not record me? I'm trying to figure out where my friend's at. Like, there's a lot going on. The group is, like, dispersed into two. Could you not record me? And I was very polite, like, almost pleading with him. And his girlfriend, like, was like, if you don't want to be recorded, then don't be famous and this and that. And I was just like, dude, like, I just don't record. Like, I'm not asking for a lot. It's just, there's a time and a place. And I was at Independence in Mitchelstown, the festival. And there was a few of us who were well known. And this lad was, like, phone up, like, recording. And it's like, one of the girls had gotten in front being like, just let you know, there's a guy recording. And I wasn't doing anything bad. I was quite literally just in the crowd enjoying the moment. It's like, that guy's recording you. Just, like, don't make a thing out of it. And it's like, I shouldn't have to be on guard constantly.
Yeah, but then you're self-conscious in a way, like, at the thought of that. Which, and as you say, like, even when you were a teenage girl, you're self-conscious enough as a teenage girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe as well you find it hard to watch yourself on TV or
hate
see yourself on the radio.
I hate it.
I think never do it. I think if I listen to this show, I'd never do it again.
Like, I know for a fact, this is, someone's going to have this recorded when I go home and be like, oh, this is what you said. Yeah, cool. Don't need to tell me. I'm grand. Yeah, don't play it back.
I think you got advice actually from Charlize Theron on this, did you?
Yeah, so.
Which is a good name drop.
Thank you. I did a Netflix film a couple of years ago, and this was just after Dancing with Stars and the whole self-conscious whole thing. And I really didn't like watching myself. I never liked watching myself, to be fair, but at that point I like made it a rule I don't want to. And in a lot of big sets, they have like a massive television where you can kind of see yourself and, you know, you kind of see how the scene went. And I remember looking at being like, oh my God, like I look really big. Like my chin is out or my stomach is really bloated. I shouldn't have ate that for lunch. Blah, blah. And I was just knocking myself down. And we gone out for air and Charlize Theron was there. And I literally said, because everyone was like tiptoeing around her because of Charlize Theron. I was like, Charlize. Yeah. I was like,
it takes a person from Mallow to just straight up. Yeah.
I was like, Charlize.
Come here,
like,
Charlize. Yeah.
I was like, how do you like not like judge yourself like when you're watching yourself? And she's like, don't look at it. Like, don't look at yourself as yourself. Look at it. Look at yourself like as a producer or as a director or as the viewer at home who's going to be watching this. And then you'll see the full broader picture. Because if you're looking at yourself, she's like, I don't like the way I look on camera. I was like, if you don't, I'm screwed.
You're right.
And she was like, just see it from a broader perspective. And then it's like, then you don't take as much notice. Like, if you're like, oh, I delivered my line wrong, fair enough. But if you're judging your appearance, why? You're playing a character. You're not playing yourself. It's completely different. And I was like, I want to take that on board now. It still didn't make a difference to me, but I would like to take that on board and grow to have that mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the next song choice then, this is one that gives you a bit of a boost anytime, basically, if you're feeling a bit like that. Yeah.
It's this next song. It's more so a song where it's like, I still like, I want to give a little bit more. It's like, I may feel whatever I'm feeling, but deep down inside, I know that I'm doing it for a good cause. So if I don't like the way I'm looking, right, take yourself out of it. What is the viewer going to think about when they watch it? Or what's the listener going to think when they listen to your voice? They're going to feel happy or they're going to enjoy listening to you. There's always something a little bit more to me than what I'm feeling, if that makes sense.
Okay, brilliant. All right, this is Demi Isaac's fourth choice, Cage the Elephant, Rubber Ball. So that's Cage the Elephant, Rubber Ball, and that's Demi Isaac's kind of therapy song when she wants to give it a bit extra.
Yeah.
Demi Isaac sounds like such a lovely person. Best wishes to her in her new job on 2FM. I love her as Linda in Young Offenders. Someone else, dancing in the kitchen here, Brendan. What a lovely young woman. Someone else says, just wanted to congratulate Demi on her career and say she's such a nice, kind person, always up for the chat. So that's obviously somebody who knows you.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just meet up for the chats now.
I could keep talking. Yeah, you did right.
What a gorgeous guest Demi is. She's so brave to talk about the nastiness she's experienced. I hope she's just flooded with positive messages from people to let her know how wonderful she is. Keep doing it all. Yeah, but you're missing the point, Texter. She won't see the positive messages. She'll only see the bad ones. So we leave them out. So listen, if the peak of your showbiz career so far was Linda and Young Offenders, you're going to peak again now. So you've a new 2FM show.
Yes.
When are you starting?
The show starts on the 15th of March, and it is 2FM afternoons with Demi and Mikey O'Reilly, who is an absolute gent, and he's a dub man, which we get on. It's cool. Yeah, it's exciting.
Okay. Are you excited? Yeah.
I am. Like, I went to college for radio. And I always said, like, everyone in our class was like, the end all be all job for most of us is to end up in RTE 2FM. And I never thought I was qualified to do it. I worked in radio for the last couple of years since I was 18. But when I got the job, I was like, wow, maybe I am qualified after all. This is fun. This is exciting. And I can't wait. I'm really buzzing for it now.
Are you able to prepare or anything, or...
For which?
For the start of the show.
You
getting psyched up or something? Or?
No, do you know what? The way the radio show is going to go is this. I'm just going to talk.
Okay.
There's nothing more to it. I just want to have the laugh.
Possibly go wrong. sounds good to me. Okay.
Yeah.
So your final choice then is Gregory Isaac, the cool ruler, as he used to be known. Night Nurse. Why this?
So this song reminds me of my dad. Really, really, really does remind me of my dad. It is one of my favourite songs. I could fall asleep to this song and have it on loop for 8 hours. And when I first met my boyfriend, do you know the whole like, oh my God, what's your favourite colour? What's your favourite food? We were like, what's your favourite song? And he said Night Nurse. And I couldn't believe it because I never thought anyone else would know the song. And I also knew it. And whenever you're down, this is my comfort song. Like, if I want to sleep, or if I've had a long day, or if I just want something in the background, I play the song because it genuinely just reminds me of my dad. And he's a sound guy.
Okay. Did you go back to Nigeria to where your dad was from at one stage?
I went back make the connection. In 2019. And I went there for my 19th birthday.
Yeah.
What was it like? Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so humbling. I think everyone should go to Nigeria and experience it because it's so humbling. I want to go back. Do you know what? I'd go back for 2 months if I could.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely beautiful.
And does it give you more of a sense of your dad as well? Who he was like?
So yeah. We're from Benin City, Edo State, and Lagos and Benin City. Like, they're just two completely different places.
Okay. So Lagos is like a complete mega
city. It's like
city,
Dublin. Like city. And then like where my dad's from is very rural. And the difference was crazy. Like, even the drive up, it took us 8 hours to get there. That was humbling. That was like, oh, wow. Yeah, we are not in Europe. This is Nigeria. But no, it was lovely. And I got to see my grandmother before she passed. And my uncles and aunties. And it was beautiful. I want to go back. I really, really do.
Amazing.
But I wouldn't live there now. I'll go back for a holiday.
Like the Yanks come home. And they enjoy here for a while. Okay. Demi Isaac, you're fantastic. Thank you so much. So 2FM weekend afternoons with Demi and Mikey. That kicks off on Saturday, the 15th of March.
So excited.
From 12 noon to 3.
Yeah.
On 2FM, obviously. I'm just going to give you one word of warning, right?
Oh,
5 years ago, I'd say it was that date, Saturday, 14th, 15th of March, I started this show, right? And like grand, right?
Yeah.
And then on the Wednesday, there was a pandemic and the whole country shut down.
So you're saying...
I'm just saying.
Just be wary.
You have to be ready for anything, perfect. Seriously. Okay. And there is there's a whole new daytime schedule starting on 2FM on Monday as well, but you're coming up on Saturday, 15th of March. Demi Isaac, thank you so much. We'll finish on your final song, Gregory Isaac's Night Nurse.
I don't wanna see no doc. I need attendance from my nurse around the clock.
cause there's no prescription for me. She's the one, the only remedy. Night nurse, only you alone can quench the shatters. My night nurse, all the pain is getting worse. I'm hurt by love.